I think it's just wonderful when you're been preparing for a message and you come to a service and you near enough have your message sort of spoken out for you. It's just wonderful, isn't it? I mean, I don't, you've obviously been in that position at some point. You know, well, you can if you like. I mean, it's entirely up to you if that's going to be more beneficial to you. Then. But it is. I mean, it's almost. Well, I felt there this morning. I said, you know, to God, in you know, quietly. I said, you've been showing people my notes. You know, because what's been prayed and what we've been singing, a lot of what I've got to say this morning is going to come back out as I look at Jesus, the door, or the gate, depending on what translation that you actually have. But as we do that, I just want you to be open, you know, really to what God wants to say to you through the message this morning. Because we've had some wonderful messages recently about who Jesus is, you know, and at the very least, it should be changing your prayer life. It should be changing the way that you view God, as we've just looked at just now. You know, so don't just, you know, say, oh, well, this is the part of the service. You know, can I urge you and encourage you to feed, you know, on what I'm going to say, what the Holy Spirit wants to plant into your lives, that's going to enable you to move forward, you know, in the wonder of who Jesus is. That, as Nigel was encouraging us early on, that we begin to see him for all that he is. Because that's what this series is all about. That we come out the other end of it just amazed at the wonder of our Saviour. You know, and not just to go through another load of sermons. That's not what it's about. You know, it's about our lives being changed. It's about us beginning to say, this Jesus is just marvelous. You know, and it's, and the thing about it all is that we never get to the end of it.
No, it's true.
You know, because even when we do go to be with the Lord in heaven, he just, you know, he's just amazing anyway, and he'll just fill us. You know, every minute of the day we'll just be filled with worship and praise and honor and glory. You know, just being there. So it's just, if I get a little bit emotional, then that's me. If you're not emotional, then get emotional. But we need to actually start getting excited about who our Jesus is. Yeah, it's not wrong to get excited about Jesus. If you haven't known Jesus very long, there's such wonderful times ahead of you. Because as he opens himself up to us, it's then that the wonder starts to come of who this Jesus is. Sometimes we get through the door and we stay just inside the door. But what Jesus wants us to do is to come in through the door and bask in the radiance. Yeah?
Yes.
So we're looking at John 10. And verses 1 to 10. So those of you who've got whatever apparatus you've got, or whatever Bible, proper Bible that you've got. right, we're contentious already. Anyway.
That was good enough for Jesus.
There's got to be a way of coming back on that, but I haven't thought of it yet. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Once again, we have, as Nigel so helpfully shared with us a couple of weeks ago, we have the I am statement again. And it's important for us to understand that when Jesus uses that, he's basically saying, I am God. And what we're looking at this morning is God has made a way where there was no way. God has made a way where there was no way. You see, we deserve to die for our own sins. But the perfect Son of God, who was without sin, who was holy and righteous God, who came to save his people from their sins, he came and died as our substitute. Yep. That's the truth. By means of his death for our sins and his resurrection, he literally became the door by which people can come into the presence of God and be saved. Yeah. That's the starting point. Yeah. For each one of us, Jesus is the entrance. Jesus is the way in. Jesus Christ is the sole way. Yeah. He is the door and not a door. Yeah. No matter what the world wants to say about there being many ways to God, there is one way into the presence of God. There is only one way to be saved, and that is to come through Jesus. John 10:7 says, I tell you the truth. In other words, take note of this. This is important for you to remember. I am the door for the sheep. Goes on into verse 9 to say, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And then in John 14:6, he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, if we take Jesus out of the equation, the Bible tells us there's no way to God. Yeah. If you take Jesus out of it, then there's no way to God. If he is not the door, then there is no entrance for us to come into the presence of God. There is no way for us to be saved. But the wonderful thing is, we know that he is real and living and active today. Is that not right? Yes. We know it because he has worked in our lives. Yeah? We are living proof of the reality of a people who've come into a relationship with God. And that's true for each one of us who knows Jesus this morning. We are living proof. By entering through the door, Jesus has brought us into the sheepfold. We come into the sheepfold. We are now the sheep of God. We are his people. We are part of his family. We've come into his kingdom because Jesus has made a way. How many of you know this morning that you're saved? A few. Okay. This could be difficult. The important thing is we have to believe Jesus actually did a good job in saving us. Yeah? That we really, really, really are saved. We are saved. You'll be surprised how many Christians you can come across today who do not have assurance that they're saved. If you come through Jesus and you're now in the sheepfold, you are saved. Right, that one's dead now, okay? Right, anytime the old enemy comes along and says, whoa, if you're a real Christian, you wouldn't have done that, or you wouldn't act like that, and you say, I'm saved. The blood of Jesus. End of story, go away. You see, Jesus has paid the ultimate price to make it possible for us to have a change of identity and a change of destination. Yeah? So, now is the time for us to take hold of and live in the good of all the benefits we have in coming through the door and entering into eternal life in the presence of God. And I want to look at some of those things just shortly. What we have in coming through Jesus. Because sometimes we get caught up in, we're saved. But it's much more than that. Much more than that. You see, it's the all-sufficiency of God's redemptive work through Jesus that establishes us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. It's because of what God has done. And through Jesus, not only that, but we become heirs. Heirs of God. Oh, the feet are going, hang on. We become heirs of God. So what are some of the benefits that we come into in entering in to the sheepfold through Jesus? Well, we're saved, yes. We come into salvation. We come into eternal life. And we've got so much in that that we can grab hold of. We've heard it this morning. We have a hope that is steadfast and certain. Yeah? We come into blessing, God's blessing upon us. We come into the favor of God. We come into the love of God, which is lavished upon us day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. What else have I got to say? Second by second, millisecond by millisecond, whatever. But we come into that love afresh to us. We become righteous in God's sight. We become holy in God's sight. Are we getting excited yet? We get justified in Jesus. We get sanctified, and sanctification is in our lives. We get free. Freedom is ours from what the enemy would want to do in our lives. We come under grace. We come into mercy. We have strength in Jesus. We have power. We have authority in Jesus. This is our place, to name but a few. There is so much more that we have in Jesus, in coming through Jesus. You see, once we enter through Jesus, he has so much more of himself. We will never see it all until we are in eternity. Until we're with him, we'll grasp what it is. But now, we're learning all the time, learning about what he has to give to us. And he holds nothing back. Why do you think he says, freely what you've received, freely give? Because he has so much more to put into our lives that we can be the children of God. Yes. That's what we are. But we must enter into these things. You know, it's good knowing those things. But will you take that step this morning and say, I'm going to live in the righteousness of God. I'm going to be holy because God said I'm holy. Lord, teach me how to do that. Help me to do that. He's given us his spirit. Yeah? So come alongside us so that these things are not just words, but they're part of our life. They're part of who we are in Christ that we've received. You see, one of the important things that just came to me as I was reading this passage that we have, that Jesus does for us, is that through him we have access into the presence of God. We have access to the Father. What a wonder that is. Hebrews 10:19, and we touched on it in the songs and what we've said. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is his body. You see, it's through Jesus. Can you begin to see just a little bit more of how wonderful and marvelous this Jesus is? Ephesians 2:18 goes on to say that, for through him we have access by one spirit to the Father. Ephesians 3:12 says, in Jesus we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Without Jesus, we are excluded. With him, in him, and through him, we have access. Each one of you has access into the very presence of God. It is incredible. If anybody else wants to say anything, just help me. You know, I mean, me and Callie are doing well at the moment. But anyway, without Jesus, we're excluded. Access, what do we have access into? Well, all that I've talked about, but not only that, and I'm sure Nigel will pick up on some of these next week, not that I'm telling him what to preach, but access we have into protection, security, safety, and life. That's what John 10:10 says, does it not? I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now we can have a question there, and that is, do we have life to the full? Well, the answer to that is yes, we do in Jesus. We might not feel like it sometimes, and sometimes we may have to talk to ourselves and say, look, I have a life in me that is wonderful, marvelous, because I have Jesus in me. So we do have a life. What does this Jesus life look like? Well, firstly, if we will enter in and take hold of what Jesus has done for us, I believe the revelations will begin to come. All these things will begin to open up for us as we come through the door and into eternal life. Then revelation of Jesus will come. Revelation of what it means to be having eternal life. This life that Jesus gives to us. You see, Jesus wonderfully leads us into an encounter with God. That's what happens, isn't it? Basically. Where we enter into his fullness and his abundant everlasting life. You see, I might be a little bit contentious here, I don't know, but I believe that every encounter with God that we have should affect and change us. It shouldn't make us shake, just shake. It shouldn't even make us fall on the ground. If we have an encounter with God, can I just say, I believe that when you get up off the ground, something should have happened. Something should have happened. Sheila and I have been in churches where people come out every week. They ask you to pray for the same thing. Every week they fall on the ground because the Spirit's done something in their lives. And they're back the next week asking you about the same thing. I believe that when you have an encounter with God, it changes you. It affects your life. Well, isn't that what John 10:9 is saying, basically? Whoever enters through me, encounter, will be saved. Change. That's basically what that's saying, isn't it? You encounter God, you're changed. You're saved. We begin the process, if you like, of salvation, whereby we are delivered from the consequences of our sin and brought into, through Jesus, an eternal relationship with God. And what I mean by eternal is not just for this life, it's forever. Forever. So important. And by eternal life, I mean that every true believer will have access to the realm of life that Jesus himself lives in. That's the truth, isn't it? And we begin to look at ourselves and think, well, I'm not touching that. I'm not touching that this morning. I say that to myself. I'm not touching that. The realm of life that Jesus lived in is mine, but am I living in the good of that? Am I really living in what eternal life's all about? You see, Bill Johnson once said, show people a life filled with joy because of the transforming power of God, and they will want to be like you. And there's a question to ask yourself, isn't it? If you are truly living in the good of all that Jesus has given to us, what it should be doing is making people ask you questions. It should be making people say, oh, what is it about you? What is it about you? You know, every time I look at you, there's something about you, or the way you act, or what you do. There's just something that just draws me to wonder what on earth it is that you've got. And then that'll give us opportunities, won't it? But this life Jesus offers us each day is a life that overflows with confidence that we have, that God is more than able to deal with anything that might come into our lives. Because that's what it's about, isn't it? It's a confidence in God. It's not a confidence in ourselves. It's a confidence in God that touches our lives and makes us just know that we're safe, know that we're secure, know that we have a God who's for us. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs. Do you believe that this morning? I'm just throwing these out because you can deal with them with the Holy Spirit at a later date. But it's important for us to start saying to ourselves, if that's what God is saying, am I living in the good of this? Is my confidence in him? You see, the individual who puts his trust in Jesus Christ is made alive spiritually. He receives life, and that spiritual life that begins the moment he puts his faith in Christ. He goes through the door and into the sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold life should be a contented life. So ask yourself again, am I contented with my life? Or are there things that, I want this, I want that, I'm going after this, I'm going after that. We've got to be contented in Jesus. You're not striving for the things of this world, but just be contented in Jesus. You know that he has given you everything you need. You see, the sheepfold life is a life of peace with God. Are you at peace this morning in your inner being? Are you at peace with everything that's around you? Because God wants you to know that peace this morning. It should also be a fruitful life in the sheepfold. It should be a fruitful life with God. John 10:9 says, he will come in and go out and find pasture. In other words, we will come in and we will go out and we will live in the good of all that God has for us. Because God wants to do so much for us. Yes, we can pursue the world for satisfaction, which many are doing. But just remember there's that little verse in Proverbs 14 that we often use, but it says there is a way that seems right, but it ends or leads to death. In other words, it can be a hindrance to you. If you start seeking after the things of this world, it can hinder your walk with God. Because the world is only out, and the enemy is only out to rob, kill, and destroy. He wants to take us away, if you like, or to draw our gaze away from looking at God and believing God for what he wants to do. Because we know, don't we, that there's one who is called the all-sufficient one. Yeah, he alone is the one that satisfies the soul of man. He is the one who gives everlasting life and meets all our needs. Our confidence has to be in Jesus. 1 John 5 says, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So in the same way as we by faith are saved, you see, eternal life is taken hold of by faith. We take hold of that life by faith to say that life is in me. Lord God, I want to live in the good of that life. You see, by believing that Jesus has done what he says he has done, and by believing we are who he says we are, it's then that we will understand that we do have everything we need to live a life of godliness in Jesus. You see, there is so much more to coming through Jesus, the door, than just saying, yippee, I'm saved. Though that's wonderful, and it is wonderful. But we have to much more enjoy and partake of all that Jesus has to us, because we are saved to be like Jesus. Yeah, in every way, we're to come into the fullness of him. That's what the Bible tells us, isn't it? So, though being saved is wonderful, that's the beginning. We come in through him. And in fact, 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in the world. What a scripture that is. As he is, so are we in the world. In coming in through Jesus, we are changed to be like him. We have that wonderful promise, don't we, in John 14:12. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Not can do, will do. We will do. And it's so wonderful, because in coming in to Jesus, basically as we live that life out, we become Jesus to those around us. We become his people. We become ready to serve him and to do his will, because we realize the fullness of who Jesus really is and what he's done. You know, it should spring us forward to want to be Jesus to those around us. You see, we have to live a life that puts into people a desire to discover the door. People should be able to look at us, and it should draw them to say, I need to discover what it is that these people have got, or this person. You see, people are looking all over the place for the right way to live a life that fulfills the needs inside them. They're going in all directions, aren't they, to find out. You know, and we were looking at the news this morning, and I've lost his name now, it's just gone out of me, but there's a pop singer. Ed, somebody. Sheeran. And it was said this morning that he finds it difficult to be alone. And he has to have a group of people that travel with him, whether it is friends from school. You know, so he pays for them. They do jobs. But this group of people has to go with him wherever he goes. Well, he's got more money than, I was going to say sense, but that's not good. But he's got more money than probably all of us put together. And yet he needs something. Well, we know what he needs. And it's important for us to be there for those people who are searching, who are looking around for the answer to how they can live life that fulfills the needs inside them. And Jesus says in this passage, I am the door. Jesus cannot be a secret door. In other words, what I'm saying there is, let's not keep him to ourselves. But the door we should be showing them, we should be inviting people to go through. We should be listening to what people are saying and say, I can introduce you, if you like, to someone. I can show you why I'm different. Because it's not me, it's who is in me. It's who's changed my life. And perhaps we need to start to talk about Jesus in a more natural way. You know, and what do I mean by that? Well, in the same way as we can talk about West Brom winning, you know, or somebody having a child, we can get excited about these things. Well, can we start getting excited about Jesus? You know, and when we're talking, you know, when somebody says to you, I don't get it so much now because I obviously don't work. But when they say, what were you doing this weekend? You know, you say, well, I was at church. But perhaps we should be sharing what it is God's done or spoken to us during the week. We can share when the opportunity comes, but in a natural way, about Jesus, how Jesus has changed your life. Now, this is not putting heaviness on you. I just want to encourage you to start to get to a place where you can start to, you know, talk to people. When people start moaning and groaning about people, perhaps you can say, well, I was once like you. But then take the conversation into why you're not like that anymore. Because it's important for us, isn't it? You know, is this life that we have exciting to us? Does it challenge us? Does this life that we have challenge us? Because that's what it's supposed to be about. You know, because we're changing all the time. We're changing. The Holy Spirit wants us to be more and more like Jesus. He wants to transform us to be more and more like Jesus. And perhaps a good place for you to start doing that would be in house groups. When we meet in house group, let's not get caught up with whether we're selling houses, whether we're buying houses, whether we've even had a good day at work. Perhaps we should be more talking about how Jesus has spoken to us this week. how our lives have been challenged this week because the Holy Spirit's pointed something out in our lives. You know, let's get Jesus back into our conversation, if you like. I'm not talking about in a religious way or a difficult way. I'm talking about it becoming natural in us. Because when we come in through Jesus, he wants us to show him to the people around us. You know, and everything that we have in Jesus is to enable us to do that. And to get, if you like, free to start talking to your friends, your family, those that you might work with, those that you meet on a fairly regular basis. You know, because it's important for us to understand Jesus wants to use us. But don't in any way feel I'm putting anything on you. I'm just encouraging you to start to think that I need to get into Jesus more than I am, perhaps. You see, on the cross, Jesus became the door for us. He gave himself that we could enter into the presence of God for eternity. Jesus then is truly the door whereby we have access to the benefits of being in the sheepfold. The question is this morning, as I begin to draw to a close, is will we by faith enter in this morning? Will we live in the good of all that Jesus has for us? Will we stay close to Jesus? Will we ask him to reveal himself? We've been encouraged to do that this morning, to reveal himself to us afresh. Will we come in and taste and see that the Lord is good? Because if we'll do that, we will come into a fresh understanding of that love that he has for us. He will feed us. He will bring us into life everlasting. Because that's what Jesus is about. So Jesus is not just, if you like, standing there and saying, welcome. He's saying, welcome and partake. He wants us to come in. He wants us to have those things that I've talked about this morning. But he wants them to be in your life and working in your life so that you do understand fully who you are in God, who I am in God. Because it's so important for us. So I just want to pray now. I want to pray that you'll just, well, me as well, will understand more and more that who Jesus is, that through Jesus we have so much more. Lord Jesus, I just thank you and praise you, Lord God, for who you are. Lord, I thank you that truly you are the door. Lord God, that you do open a way, Lord God, for each one of us to enter in to salvation, but also into the presence of God. And Lord God, I pray that your Spirit will work in our hearts this week. Lord God, that we'll live in the good of all that you've done for us. Lord, that we'd enter in through you, Lord God, into the sheepfold. Lord, that we would partake of all that you have for us in that pasture that you have for us. Lord God, I just thank you and praise you now, Lord Jesus, that you are about a good work in our lives. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll just touch our hearts afresh. In Jesus' name. I just want to finish off with something that I had. Have you got a song as well? Yeah. Okay. Just something I came across as I was finishing off preparing. And it was from, some of you will know this guy. Most of you won't, I expect. But Horatius Bonner, who was a hymn writer. And he put, basically, in these few words, what I've been trying to say to you this morning, and that is, done is the work that saves. Once and forever done. Finished the righteousness that clothes the unrighteous one. The love that blesses us below is flowing freely to us now. The sacrifice is over. The veil is torn in two. The mercy seat is red with blood of the victim slain. Why stand you then outside in fear? The blood divine invites us near. The gate is open wide. The new and living way is clear and bright.
Thank you, Lord.
Into the holiest now we come, our present and our endless home. With boldness let us draw near. The blood banishes every fear. Then to the Lamb who once was slain, be glory, praise, and power. Hallelujah. What a Saviour.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.